All right. Well, good morning, everyone. Great to see you this morning. Hope you had a good Christmas with your family and friends. I'm sure you're like me. You stepped on the scale this morning, went, I got some resolutions to make in the new year. But we'll get to that another time. Well, today is a special Sunday. This is, maybe you're visiting with us today or first time here in our church. It's great to have you with us this morning. And you've come on sort of a unique Sunday. It's the last Sunday of the year. And for a number of years now, we've taken this Sunday and used it as a Sunday to sort of look back a little bit over the last year and celebrate what God has done in the church and what God is doing in individual lives and certain ministries in the church. And every year it sort of has a bit of a different theme and different testimonies from different ministries, but it's always great and has become one of the highlight Sundays of the year, I would say. And so I don't think this Sunday is going to be any different. We're going to hear from five different people today. Three of them have come in early, and we've videoed their testimonies to share with you. And then we're going to have a couple that are live. One will be sharing his testimony, and then the last one, I'll do a bit of an interview to end it off this morning. So we want to begin by highlighting just a couple of ministries that we have in our church and some of the things that God is doing in those ministries to reach people. And the first one that we're going to talk about is our Cleansing Stream ministry. Cleansing Stream is something that has been a ministry of our church for many years. Going back to our previous building, even before this, I remember being a part of that. And God has really used this ministry to help people get free from a lot of different struggles in their lives and to break through in different areas where they've been limited and held back. And the Cleansing Stream is a course that's run over several weeks, and it ends with a sort of a power weekend where there's a lot of prayer, individual prayer, and it's always a time of real breakthrough. And this year, Jackie Rinsdorf from our church took the course, and she had a real powerful experience on the retreat, and she's going to share her story with us. Then after that, we're going to hear from Elizabeth Balea. Elizabeth volunteers at another one of our ministries in the church called IFR, or International Friendship Regina. The main purpose of that ministry is just reaching out to international students that come to the University of Regina and building relationships with them, helping them, encouraging them however we can. And sometimes those relationships lead to real divine connections. And this happened recently with Elizabeth and a young lady named Kate, who came just for a few months from Taiwan. And God used this connection with Elizabeth to see Kate come to Jesus here in our church. And Elizabeth is going to share that story with you. So let's roll those two videos now.
My name is Jackie, and I've been attending Harvest City for about 3 years now and working at the school here for just over a year. I started taking Cleansing Stream, not knowing what it was about at all, really. A friend of mine kind of just got me to sign up with her, and I'm so grateful that I did take it because there was a specific trauma that Holy Spirit just broke off of me. At the last weekend, that was a Saturday, and we showed up for the retreat. They would speak about a certain topic, and then you would go up and get prayer for that specifically. The first one was pride, and the second one was shame. The third one was abuse. They spoke on abuse, and there came a point where we were separated with men and women on either side, and I'm sitting in the front row for context. And Ron Swan, he comes and he stands before the women, and he says, I don't know who hurt you, but I'm here to represent them, whether it's a father, a brother, or a husband, or anyone who's close to you, and I'm here to apologize. And he said those words, and I just had to like look down, and I was like, I can't look at you right now. I'm crying, I'm broken, I feel so hurt. And he just said all these nice things, apologizing and saying how it wasn't right. And he was sorry. And it just... and made the pain that I have been trying to hide for so long become so evident and real. All the years of buildup of pain, it had congregated right at the back of my head. And there was like a, almost like a pounding headache, but at the back of my skull, and all this tightness in my neck and shoulders that had been there for years, and it's just where my body had decided to hold my stress. I was literally hunched over and saying, I need prayer for this, because I can't move past it. I'm stuck on it, and I need to get past it. And she asked if I was willing to forgive. And for a brief moment, I was unsure, because I'd been holding on to it for so long. But I said, yes, I need to let it go. And so she prayed over it. She had anointed me in, I can't remember if it was just holy fire is what she had said. She anointed it on my shoulders. It poured down on top of me. And I just broke down crying. It was a mix of crying and relief and like laughing. And it was very loud. And that pain in the back of my head, it was gone. The tightness in my shoulders, gone. I felt like I could move. And I felt this warmth, this heat. And it felt like in the spirit realm, my shoulders were on fire, but it was like pauldrons of flame. Like I had, like the armor of God was just on my shoulders, and it was just so beautiful. And I felt fierce, and I felt like new, and it felt amazing. And I feel like I've turned the page in my life to a new canvas, like a new blank page where I can just start something fresh and start something new with a new perspective. I don't know if I would have made it there without Cleansing Stream to provide this space. I would love to encourage anyone who's maybe on the fence about taking Cleansing Stream or Genesis, because I know it is scary and I know it's intimidating. But when you go through it and you know that you are with people that are safe and you can trust, it's so worth it in the end.
My name is Elizabeth, and I've been a part of Harvest City for 13 years. I've been a part of International Friendship Regina for about 5 years now, so since my first year in university. IFR is one of our ministries here at Harvest City, but it's also a student club. And the heart of it is really just to meet international students where they're at. We host fun events once a month. The core of it is to reach international students, to be their friends, develop those friendships, and build equity with them so that when they're going through a hard time, when they're feeling lonely or upset, or they're even celebrating their successes here, we can be some of the people that they reach out to and are with. And it's through those moments that we have a chance to share the gospel and to be like Jesus and to be their friends and to share the love of God with them. It was at one of these events, it was our Thanksgiving event this past October, that I met Kate. She's an exchange student from Taiwan, and we hit it off really well. And that interaction led to about a dozen other hangouts. I could tell that she was curious about God, and she was asking questions, and so I shared what I knew, talked about Jesus, and I could tell that she was receptive and wanting to know more. And that brought her to church. She came to church with me a couple of times, and also attended the Young Adults Bible Study too. Kate's first Sunday with us was in November. From the worship to the message, she found it very relatable. I felt like it spoke right to her heart. The worship, she just could not stop crying throughout it. I was wondering what was happening to her. I think the Lord was leading her to Himself for a long time now. Even from our very first few conversations, I could already tell that she was curious, wanting to know more. I could feel that there was more to this life, more to the nature around us. So that Sunday, when the message was over, we came to my house just to have some tea, get together, just sharing about the love of God and how much He sees her and loves her, knows her personally and wants the best for her, and just could tell how that was affecting her. After that experience, she was way more confident in sharing that Jesus was who she chose and this is who she wants to spend the rest of her life with. The next Bible study that we came to, almost right away, she shared with the people present that she gave her life to Jesus. She's excited to go home and share with her cousin, who's also a Christian, that she gave her life to Jesus. She started to see that it wasn't even just this semester that God was drawing her, but it was years before. Because like I mentioned, her cousin was a Christian, her best friend turned out to be a Christian, the host family that she was with for 3 weeks years ago in Canada were also Christians. There are just so many you could call them coincidences, but now looking back, she can tell that these were all connection points that God was using to draw her closer, to get her to ask questions, and to get her on the right track to Him. And she is back in Taiwan now, so if you can remember her, if you think of her, pray for her. I know that for me, this was just a brief moment. Really, we knew each other for about 2 months. It was a sweet time. I gained a really precious friend through this experience. But no doubt, I was just a tiny, tiny piece on her journey. Other people that God had sent on her way, on her path, the professors that she's met here that talked about the Bible, this long process that I feel like a lot of us are in really all the time with the people that we love. It's so encouraging to see that God does save, He does rescue, He does speak, and He could do it at any moment, at any time, with anybody, any kind gesture. People are way more open than we think, and I'm so grateful to have been used by God in this way. So grateful for IFR for facilitating these connections, for the Bible studies that we have at church, for all these connection points that people have to meet, to greet, to love on each other, to ask questions. Everything just plays right into what God's already doing, and it's really cool.
Had a chance to meet Kate, and we did ask if we could tell a little bit of her story, just so you know. She gave us permission to do that, but Kate was, she took our connections class, even though she was going back to Taiwan, but she was just wanting to, plug in however she could and learn as much as she could, and so I got a chance to just talk to Kate a little bit, and she could not talk without crying. It was just so touching and so neat to hear her story of all these little connections along the way, and we just sort of got to reap at the end. And excuse me, it just felt so amazing that God brought her here for a 2-month window, and in that 2-month window through IFR, through Elizabeth, she was able to meet Jesus in a real, real incredible way. So awesome. Well, the next person we're going to hear from is Betson Christopher. And Betson's from India. And something, sort of amazing is happening in our church. For those of you that are, come in the last number of years, you look around and you go, Harvest City is a real international church. And we are, and more so. But there was a time when we weren't. And it's hard to believe that now. But I remember back, even in our previous building, we had a prophetic guy come through and tell us, you need to change your name to Harvest Nations. And God's going to bring the nations, and you're to go to the nations. And as you go to the nations, God's going to bring the nations to you. And we started going to the nations, and we've gone to Africa lots, And we've seen so many African people come to our church. We've had the Nigerian invasion happen, as well as other African nations, which has been great. But in recent years, we've gone to India and Pakistan and some of these places more often as well. And one of the amazing things is that it seems like since September, we've had the Indian invasion. And it seems like every week I'm meeting another couple or another family who's come from India. And God is, how they're finding us is really unique. And there's some beautiful people, some wonderful people that God has added to our church just since September. And one of those is Betson and his family. And so I just want Betson to come and share a little bit of his story with you. How he and his wife ended up in Canada. They didn't come really wanting to be here initially, but God twisted their arm and brought them here, and I believe for a specific purpose. So, Betson, why don't you share a little bit of your story with us? This is Betson Christopher.
Thank you, Pastor Joel. I'm excited until this morning. Able to hear the past two testimonies was really amazing how God leads us and how He is faithful in each one of our lives. And this morning, I would like to share a few things what God has done in our lives, our decision to embrace the call. I believe everyone has experienced God's wonders and miracles in unique ways. For our family, the journey God took us was unlike anything we had ever experienced. Even though we have seen His work in many different ways throughout our lives, from childhood to now. Sharon and I have been married 8 years now, and we are blessed with two wonderful, precious children, Jane and Jaden. And we understand our marriage is not just for this world, but to build His kingdom. For past several years, we have been serving the Lord as family. And I would now like to share the story of our transition to Canada, how it all started, and the journey we have experienced since then. Our decision to embrace the call came as a result of a choice that God has placed before us as a family. It was the hardest ever decision that we had to make. The decision to obey God's call for what He has planned in our life. In December 2021, we were in our family prayer as a part of our routine. As we began to pray, we sensed the move of the Holy Spirit in our bedroom. And we started to recommit our lives again and asking God for His purpose and how to unfold things in the kingdom of God. And it was during that time God began to burden our hearts. And distinctly I heard the three words from the Lord saying, "Pack your bags." And it was so strange for me because I've been praying for a number of years, but it was so strange to hear these three words because I've not heard saying anyone like that, and I've not heard for myself even. At that moment, we didn't fully understand what this "pack your bags" mean. But we were comfortable and well positioned in India with no complaints and no plans about moving. But God wanted us to move. And we were blessed. Materially, we were blessed. I had a good job with Ford Motor Company, and I was working there as an engineer. A good house to live. And we had everything. We had two maids, one maid for cooking and one maid to clean the house. We don't have to worry and bother about anything. But here, it's all different. So Sharon starts to wash the vessel in the morning, and three times a day she washes, and still that continues. And we find it hard, but still we embrace it. And we were spiritually blessed, leading a house church, over 40 people week after week. And we were part of a mega church, so we as a family used to serve in the church week after week. And there was everything good, and there was no good reason for me and my family to move. And I needed a clarity, so I asked the Lord, "What do you mean by saying pack your bags?" And the Lord answered three challenging directives. One, it's just you and your family. You're not taking anyone, and you're moving alone. And you're not taking your belongings, you're not taking your materialistic things, your house, your couch, and your precious stuffs here, your ties. And the second, number two, is moving to a place of need. And number three, having an absolute trust in the Lord. We've been serving Lord for a number of years, and we're saying, trust God, but I always, at the end of maybe here, at the day of month 15th or 30th, I still go into my bank account statement, seeing is my pay credited. But imagine if 1 month of the pay is not credited, our trust, we lose it, but we keep saying that our source is God and provider is God. And God says, "Betson, that you want an absolute trust in me so that I can show you what this incredible God can do in your life." And He took me through the life of Abraham and reminded the call over his life to leave this land, his people, and everything that he had and go to an unknown place. But He promised He would bless him. Genesis chapter 12 verse 1 to 3. God told Abraham, "Leave your country, your family, and your father's house for the land that I will show you." Guess my immediate response after that was a big no. I told Lord, "I'm not packing my bags and I'm not leaving anywhere." But the Lord said again, "Betson, you need to move." And once again, I responded with no, offering further explanation, thought that I could convince God in some way. And I said, I'm doing your ministry in Chennai, because that I felt that is his weak point. But I said, I'm doing your ministry in Chennai. I need to stay here to lead the life group. I'm serving the church already. And I added, if you want me to do something extra, I can still do it here, but not moving anywhere. I added, and God went silent. We finished our prayer, which lasted about 2 hours, filled with more questions and anxiety. God remained silent for almost a month, and so did I happily. However, there was a constant discomfort I carried after the divine intervention. Despite that, I continued serving the Lord. And on January 1st, 2022, during the crossover night service, and God came back again and saying, Betson, you need to move. And I was again saying a big no. But this time I could not stay in peace and happy as before. I told my wife, I don't know how to handle this God stress. It's so difficult for me. And she happily responded, good, that is on you. And not realizing she would soon have a taste of it herself. I told the Lord, I couldn't decide if you convince Sharon, if she says yes, let's see. And I thought it would be hard to convince my wife, firstly, because she always wanted to be as a family together, wherever we go. And that's a prayer always. In that case, I should travel alone for study here. So I thought there is no way Sharon is going to say yes. But nothing is too hard for the Lord. Even though as husbands, we sometimes find it difficult to convince our wives in certain decision, God does it in a very easy way than we think. She asked to sign that this was truly from the Lord. God spoke to her through sermon, convincing her deeply to obey his voice. This message emphasized that this would be the step of faith and highlighted how God would train us to trust him in the unfamiliarity. The sermon described a situation. Imagine that you are in a room in your house and there is a power outage and everything is pitch dark and you are in a need to move from your living room to your bedroom. And you don't ask anyone, even though it's pitch dark, you keep moving because you know and you're comfortable with that place and you keep moving to your living room, your bedroom. But imagine that you are put into a different house, a new entire setup where it's pitch dark in the same situation and you are in a need to move from your living room to your bedroom. You will ask for help. And God stressed that you are so comfortable here. You have to move. You are so comfortable in your nest. And I want to move your nest so that you can really see what the real big God can do in our life. And God used his analogy to say that he would rely completely on him during this season of unfamiliarity. He said that we were uncomfortable for so long. And I want to encourage you all tonight to truly experience the God in our lives, we must let him to sit in the driver's seat. We need to trust him completely. Sometimes that God asks us to sit in the passenger seat and let him guide us. So we can see what this incredible God can do in our life. And now Sharon, being convinced, reluctantly said, Betson, we will do what the Lord says. And I am not going to be a hindrance to his will. I was both surprised and shocked to hear those words from her. Now the ball is back on my court. I began scratching my head, trying to find more reasons to delay. And I ended up saying, I don't have finances. Because to study in Canada, I don't know, you know it, it's very expensive. I need to spend more than $30,000 to come and study here. Because that's the easiest pathway I can take. However, challenged, I said, Lord, if you meet my financial needs, I will think about it. So, I have always dreamed of an iPhone. I couldn't buy that iPhone because in India it is very expensive. And I had a very worthless phone. It was almost dying. The fast as it charges, the fast as it drains. And I was serving the church and I spent at least 4 or 5 hours in calls counseling people. And I said, God, how can I trust you? You want me to move from this land and you said you provide, but you are not providing a simple phone for me here. And that evening, and Sharon got frustrated and you are earning, why can't you get a simple phone for yourself? And I keep telling to her, God will provide. And God maybe acknowledged my faith. And he, at that day evening, when family called, Betson, you know what? We know that we are getting into your personal stuffs, but it's been 3 months. The Spirit of God is leading us and pushing us to give and to present you a phone. And I was so shocked that I couldn't speak because it's the first time I experienced my life. And they said, Betson, we're going to give you an iPhone. I was so shocked and I said, do as God leads you. And now God came back knocking my door and said, Betson, well, now what is your answer? You asked for finance, you asked for provision, I blessed you. And the travel expenses here is met. The college fees and the fees for my kids, 2 kids is met. And God provided. Church, during this journey of moving to an unknown place, I realized that I am placing my family in a challenging situation. Myself, Sharon and our kids, we will be separated temporarily for a year. And many people around me had a different perspectives. Peter in scripture had a lot of experience with fishing. He knew the right season to fish and all the techniques. He didn't need anyone to teach him how to fish because he was an expert, basically a PhD in fishing. Yet despite his expertise, he trusted Jesus. Gave him his boat and allowed him to steer. I don't need to explain further. The rest is history. I knelt down in the presence of the Lord. Lord, I'm ready and available to do whatever you want. We will embrace the call as a family together and serve wherever you lead us. Landed here and the course came to an end. My cousin, I was studying in Sask Poly here. My course came to an end. I was completely exhausted. Being away from my family, it became unbearable. I cried out to the Lord. I couldn't even pray in my room. There were times that I have to cry and walk down the streets. During the last winter, I didn't have a car. I had to walk all alone. 8-10 kilometers up and down. I was crying and walking. It was so exhaustive because it was not used to me before and back in India. I knelt and asked God for a breakthrough. And he said, I'm going to give you a job. And few days later, I received an interview call. And I was blessed with a job and brand as a strategic sourcing engineer. And God has been so amazing. God is truly good. And he proved us again and again that, hey, this is my journey, Bethan. It's not yours. This is my journey that I'm taking you through. And you don't have to worry about it. And this is when I moved to China. I attended a come together event where Joel was sharing the word of God on day one. As I listened, there was a strong sense of urgency to know this person who's sitting in front of me, to know about him more and about his church. So as a family, we planned and came for the Sunday service. And then the Lord spoke to us saying, this is the church. Get rooted in. We were invited to join the life group. And God gave a beautiful family to get, family of families in the life group. And everything started to unfold beautifully, putting things together. We connected easily as the group felt very similar to our back home. The teaching mission and the calling of the church aligned perfectly with what we had believing and practicing. And we knew that God wanted us to root ourselves here. I'm going to finish in a minute. Throughout this journey, There have been words of instructions and our willingness to respond to the words and walk by faith. When we did, we reaped the fruits of his promise. Yes, anxiety, fears were part of the process and we were waiting upon the Lord. And as the word says, those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk but not be faint. We are here living the call and it has just begun. We are awaiting to journey along, trusting in how he is leading us as a family. This is our desire and commitment. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Tonight, I want to encourage each one of us to reflect on whether we are truly living a purposeful driven life. We are living our call, or we stuck up somewhere in living our mundane lifestyle. We just finished celebrating the birth of Christ and now nearing to the year end. And many people celebrate Christmas without a reason, but we have a reason to celebrate. And what is the reason? The very reason God came into this world to save us, and it doesn't stop there. Jesus has entrusted with us a great commission, because he did his Father's will. And Matthew chapter 28:19 says, therefore go and make disciples of all the nations, baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I commanded you. We are called to live our life with purpose. As Dave shared in one of his sermons, the mother eagle destroys its own nest to teach the eaglets how to soar through the storms and fulfill their purpose. Eagles aren't meant to live like chickens. They meant to soar like and live according to their calling. Today, let us rededicate our lives to the call of God has placed in our life. And as a church community, let us unite ourselves building the kingdom of God by plundering hell and populating heaven with souls. Let's bring a smile to the face of Jesus and make heaven rejoice. God bless you all, and we all be a blessing to many. Amen and amen. Praise God.
So good. So good. So much. So good.
Wow. How many want to hear from him some more? I think we found another preacher. So amazing, isn't it? Remember when we used to feel like, man, we've got to suffer and move to places like India to share the gospel? And now they got to suffer and move to Canada. Don't know if you can find any maids here, but maybe you can find somebody to shovel your driveway. This next testimony is from Lola. And Lola also had an interesting journey following the leading of the Lord, where she was offered a job and felt like the Lord told her to turn it down. And she walked this journey of faith, and through it all, God provided for her in a real unique way.
Hi, I'm Lola, and I've been going to HCC for 6 years. Last year, I applied for a job at a dream company that I'd always wanted to work at. While I was going through the process and I got selected to be interviewed, I was kind of sensing that I wasn't supposed to take the job, but I wasn't sure. Eventually, I did get the offer. Yinka, my husband, he was feeling like I shouldn't take the job, but I wasn't sure. I was conflicted because this was a job that I really wanted to, a company I really wanted to work at, and it was actually a better paying job. I decided to consult with someone who I trusted as well, and she was suggested that I do like a fleece, basically, which is kind of like with what Gideon did in the Bible, where if you wanted to know if something was God, to get a confirmation from God on something. So I decided to do that. And what I did was ask for like a sign-on bonus, because it was something that they usually would do. So I asked for a specific amount, and I told God that if they give me that amount, that I would take the job. If they didn't, I wouldn't take the job. And then she came back to me and told me that actually they won't be able to give me that sign-on bonus. And if I'd asked maybe 2 weeks before, that it would have been no problem at all. But things have changed in the company. And so I went ahead and I declined the offer because I felt like that was the answer from God. But even after then, that weekend, I started to have a lot of doubt that, you know, was I over-spiritualizing things? Like, why did I turn down an offer? Like, it didn't make sense. It was better pay. It was a company I'd always wanted to work at. Why would I do that? I remember being that then. It was just kind of like a moment of desperation where I feel like the enemy had come in and said, you over-spiritualize things. You shouldn't have done that. I just began to feel really down. I felt like, you know, I missed out on this great opportunity, and I felt really, really down about it. And I felt so sad and became really depressed. During this bout of depression, I remember my husband, my sisters, my family just could not understand, because they didn't get why I was so down on myself and depressed about losing or turning down a job that God had said I should turn down. Like, I felt like I had misheard God, and maybe it was a mistake, and maybe that really wasn't a fleece. My sister encouraged me to join, there was a program which was basically a praise and worship program, and it was just focusing on worshiping God. There was a pastor who was praying, and he said, there's someone here, you've been full of depression, you've been, you know, just really depressed and down. The Holy Spirit is going to come upon you right now, and you're going to begin to laugh, and there'll be a laughter and a joy over you. And I remember, like, before he even finished his sentence, the Holy Spirit just came on me, and I was just beginning to laugh and laugh. That deep sadness and you know, that feeling of darkness and heaviness just began to lift off of me. Despite me not having that dream job back, I remember just feeling this constant presence of God's joy with me through the days. In June 2024, I was unfortunately laid off from my company. This was unexpected. It was basically, you know, cuts that the company had done. And I remember that day that when I was laid off, I remember telling the person who laid me off that I turned down XYZ company for you. And she was like, well, maybe you could go back there. So that same day, I remember going, just driving home. I just got fired. What do I do now? That day I got home and I went to my dream company's website, and I saw that they had a position, a more senior level position that was more aligned with my career aspirations. I was over the moon when I saw it. I went ahead and I applied for it, and within 3 weeks, I did get that offer and I got a position at this company. Now I'm working with an amazing team. Like, I go to work every day full of joy. Like, my husband is always like, you're on a constant high right now. It made me see how much God had pretty much been ordering my steps, basically, and just how much he had brought things full circle for me. But I remember feeling so much peace about this is where God has placed me, and that really began to make me understand the lessons that he wanted to teach me throughout this process. God really cares deeply for us, and he really listens to us when we speak to him. He uses those moments to draw us into communion with him and to have a deeper knowledge of who he is and what his heart is for us. God is faithful, he's patient, and he loves us beyond our imagination.
Awesome. Great story. All right. The last person we're going to hear from today is Daniel. So why don't you come on up, Daniel? Is it Bahaneke? Yep. Something like that, right?
Something like that, yeah. Truly international church, right?
Yes.
The accents are on the stage.
Well, one of the hard part about pastoring an international church is I butcher the names constantly.
Yeah, that's good. Icebreaker, right?
These chairs are too high for little guys like me.
Like us.
Yeah, it keeps turning on me.
Put one foot down. One foot down.
It's probably like a lever where I can... Oh, there we go. Now you're looking down on me, Daniel. All right, well, this is Daniel. And Daniel, how long have you been coming to our church?
It's about... 2.5 years, I would say.
2.5 years, yeah. And tell us a little bit about your family.
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm from Slovakia. My name is Daniel, but people around here call me Dano. My wife, Jolan, she's from Saskatchewan. She's somewhere here with the kids as well. And my both boys, Josiah and DJ, come here to school as well.
Okay.
So we moved here from the Czech Republic from Prague in the summer of 21.
So what did you do in the Czech Republic? And tell us a little bit about why you left there to end up in our church, in Canada, actually.
Yeah, no, it's a very similar story, like prompting like Benson had. So God has been in our lives very powerfully since about 2012, 2013, when we moved to Glasgow in Scotland, where we, sort of my wife and I, came closer from our different denominations to God, right? And found a church where we were planted. And from that, we grew into church planters and moved to Prague in the Czech Republic, where we planted for 7 years. But unfortunately, despite all of the good that God has done through us, we experienced a major burnout. And within that burnout, we are seeking God. We are seeking Jesus and some answers. What's next? What should we do? We don't want to be like this, right? It can be exhausting when you're burning out and being active in the church and being really living the call. And God spoke to Jolan very powerfully that she shouldn't get comfortable, that we'll be moving. We just didn't know where and how we will move. And in the middle of seeking him, this wasn't 2 weeks, this wasn't 2 months, it was 2 years of seeking the answer. Where is this place? We were able to get some answers, and we connected with this lady that was planting church in Prague with, we were planting church in Prague, but they were part of the movement, planting other churches and being with the Christ for All Nations, the Reinhard Bonnke's ministry. And we met after one event in our house, and she said that she knows somebody from Canada. And Jolan might know them because Canada is only 46 million people, right? and it's a huge country as well. And she said, I pulled her picture from Facebook just on my phone. And she did, and it was Terrell that ran the Come Together, right?
Terrell Smith.
Terrell Smith. So Terrell is from a small community that's called Teesdale up north of Saskatchewan. My wife, she's from Nipawin, which is literally the next town. And she knew about her. And it happened to be that Terrell actually came to Prague. We were reaching out together. And that's where we're starting to hear that maybe it's Saskatchewan. It's coming back for my wife to Saskatchewan and for me coming to Saskatchewan, right, from Prague to Regina. Fun fact is, too, like when we just got married, it's about 16 years, I asked her if we were to live in Saskatchewan, where would that be? And she said, definitely not Regina. That's 16 years ago. So so here we are.
You never say that to God.
You never say that to God.
So how did you end up in Harvest City Church?
Yeah, so we settled in Cathedral area in Regina with my family, and we were looking for some churches, obviously, to plug in. It was difficult for us because from the burnout we experienced previously, we had some, you know, negative experiences, and we weren't maybe trusting as much. But we really wanted God to show us the right place to be. And through exploring for about, I would say, six-ish months, we were looking for a new school for the boys. And I was just Googling what schools there are in Regina, and we found Harvest City. And then I found, actually, there is a church. And I said, like, let's check it out. So that was around Mother's Day. I think we came first, May 2022, to church. And we really loved it. You make us cry, though. You cried on the stage. We cried in the auditorium. I was like, the pastor cries here. That's a good, honest church when the pastor cries. And it was a joy. We haven't experienced in planting a church for a long time. It was hard work. It was lots of, giving and not really receiving. Just in terms of the fuel that you need when when you are doing church, right? You know that the best. So when we came here, we were crying for the whole full month, every service, and God was doing something in us, and we felt really comfortable here. And we received, I think I'm going to circle today around the word love a lot. We felt really loved here and accepted and well received, and nobody was asking us to do things in our first, second, or third, or even 15th visit to serve or to do things. People understood that burnout is real, And I got to learn that actually lots of people come to the church that experience or have similar experiences. Mm-hmm. And that gave us a lot of comfort and new way to hear God as well. That it wasn't through the lens of what should we do, but more like what we want to do. What can we really bring by who we are and who God is in our lives.
Okay. So you came and probably for the first year or so, it was more just a time of healing. We weren't asking you to serve or to do anything, just That's be. Right. You were sort of hanging out in the background a little bit. I didn't even really know you too much other than that we had this church planter in our church. But something has shifted in this last year, and it sort of was tied into with the come together and the evangelism training.
Absolutely.
So tell us a little bit about what God's been doing in your heart this last year.
And thanks for tying to come together, because I think we didn't realize when we were moving and moved that this will be playing a bigger part in our walk with God as well. So when we joined, that was few. So when we first met Terrell, it was about 2019. So it was, you know, what's that, 3-4 years almost, when she, and we stay in touch, and she communicated that she has a bigger vision for the province. She was going lots to Africa with Christ for All Nations, but God was very clear in her life that the province and Canada is on her heart and on his heart as well. And we were just observing from far what God is doing and how he's doing that, and stayed close to sort of hearing. And when she came to this church and you said, we are going to support this, it was a huge signal for us that we should be part of this, because there is no coincidences in the kingdom.
Right.
And God works in these ways almost every time, that there are connections that you cannot sort of deny, or there are events or instances where you cannot say no, like Benson, you know, shared, like you just can't shake it off. And he said, we should pay attention to this. We should probably pursue this and see where this will lead us. And then there was this connection with Disciple City. So when Come Together happened, there was this organization, Disciple City. They're from Ontario. They came here to train evangelists to do sort of the prior to the event outreaches, but also when the event happens, how to reach to people that maybe heard the gospel but didn't respond, and what's happening around that. So I went to these trainings, and it was a blast. I had really a lot of fun. It was led by this amazing guy, Adam Shepsky, and I really connected with him and wanted to stay close. But with that, God was steering more in what I can do in my heart, not just to wait, not just to wait to an event and then maybe scramble a little bit of resources and do something, but what can you do to prepare for this? Because I want you to be part of this. And he laid it on my heart very powerfully. Scary though. I just came out of a burnout. We were pastoring a church. Pastoring wasn't fun. Yeah, I don't know what you have to say about that.
Oh, it's a blast.
It's a blast, yeah.
You just had the wrong church.
Probably. It's a lot. It's a lot to pastor. And I thought I maybe misheard, you know, in these 7 years in Prague. But evangelism was always a blast.
It
was.
And you planted your church by street preaching in Prague.
Yes, we started just street preaching, starting meeting as a small group in our home. Over the 7 years, and the church is still there. It's about 120 people meeting every Sunday, which is amazing. Prague is a very hard city, but the joy being on the street every Friday was just, you cannot deny it, right? It's in the church, people tell you all of their lives and need to listen. Mm-hmm. Where here you spreading the love, spreading the gospel to people who don't want to hear you, but they are hearing you.
So Adam comes, does the training with Disciple of City. It fires you up because it's scratching that evangelistic itch.
Spot on, yes. I just love what they developed over the years of Disciple of City. They have a very strong structure for how to evangelize, even for people who never been on the street. They can just get into it very easily. They use tools like this little sticker on the back of your phone that tells you the story of salvation. And you can tell the story of salvation to people. As like, this is fantastic because as evangelists, we oftentimes try to sort of reinvent the wheel, right? But the gospel is very simple. It's the language of love. And I say always, it needs to be the language of love because love is the, we were worshiping today, is the only command, is the only law, right?
Right.
To love. And with that, I thought, encourage with the Disciples City, we should start something in Regina. We should reach the people. Because come together, as good as it is, it's a moment, right? But I want to encourage you, church, that come together was a long time ago, but we are still coming together every week to see people saved. So come together is here to stay.
So you started, excuse me. So based on that, the training, you did, you felt God stirring in you along with Attila from Morningstar to continue Saturday outreaches.
Yes. So right after Come Together, well, before Come Together, I reached out to you. I reached out to Attila and see who is evangelizing. And actually, there's lots of evangelistic groups in the city. I just felt something new, something more fresh is needed. And Disciples City provided that sort of foundation for showing people that Jesus loves them. So we met with Attila. This is also a funny story that God brings two Central European guys that are from countries that have very difficult history to reach people in Regina. It's amazing. Yeah. So big shout out to Attila. He's doing a great job in the North Central. And as you know, the stadium where Come Together happened is also in North Central. And I'm a big believer that when something happened in the land, land is mentioned always in the Bible often as a very significant territory. When God starts doing something, it reaches everybody in there. And you preaching that Come Together was amazing. But then what happens after, right? So we really saw God to give us a vision for after Come Together. So with Attila, and I'm so grateful to him to offer their place, their church in Morningstar, for us to meet every Saturday to just pray and go out. But it's also on the same land where Come Together happened, and we have been seeing salvations and healings and prayers since that day. So we launched sort of like a pilot right after Come Together, where I gathered maybe 10 people through a text message that we were meeting. Some of them I saw here today. We're meeting and just going out and seeing people healed in front of the Pasco Hospital. We see people saved in the neighborhood. And we really said, let's do work in the neighborhood where something already started, right? You planted a seed by your preaching. The whole movement there on Come Together, all the churches came together. They planted something that now needs to be harvested.
Awesome. That's great. So if somebody wants to join Danielle, if they're feeling like I'm not sure quite how to do this or want to be a part of what you guys are doing.
Yes. Thanks for that plug. It's important. So that's what we want. We want people who are desiring to share the gospel in the streets of Regina, but not being intimidated by it. So we are tapping into the resources of Disciples City. We have the training. We have all the resources necessary for you to be equipped to go on the street. And also you don't go alone. You go with me. You go with other people that are connecting currently. So we have launched, fully launched Love Regina. That's what we call it. It's very organic movement, very on the street movement. We don't advertise anywhere. We don't reach through social media, but we just meet, we pray, and we go out. And once a month, we equip as well. So when you come and you feel that you're rusty or you still don't know how to do this, we will provide you an hour, 1 hour training to take you through all of the different tools that we use, including the sticker on the back of the phone, to equip you to share the gospel. But it's really anchored in the notion of love. So what we encourage you to share is your story with Jesus, with your salvation story, your healing story. Then use the three circles to illustrate that so you don't have to spend hours with the person on the street. And be really effective in how you communicate your life with Jesus to people and the love you have received. Because when you have a story that's yours, you don't have to learn it. You don't have to you know, make it up. You don't have to also learn half of the Bible to be able to quote. Please just tell your story. And we have seen since September 5 healings, miracles healings. We have seen 25 salvations on the street. And I cannot even count the number of prayers we have been able to pray with people.
That's awesome, man.
Yeah. So God is moving powerfully. God is, that convinces me that we are in the right place.
The burned out preacher has become an evangelist in the streets of Regina. So grateful to have you and your wife here with us.
We are so happy to be here.
Okay. All right. Well, if you're interested in being a part of what Daniel and Attila are doing, call the church and we'll help connect you. Why don't you stand to your feet? We're out of time. Were you encouraged? God is doing amazing things. You know, we've experienced real growth in our church this last year. Some of our meet and greets have just been packed upstairs. We've had probably more people go through our connections class than ever before. Last Sunday, we had almost 1,000 people in church between our two services. Our Christian school has the biggest it's ever been, 320 plus students with waiting lists in most classrooms. God is doing great things. Our Sunday school ministry can't keep up. We're still turning people away every Sunday. So we are looking for volunteers, but God is doing great things. I can't wait to see what God has for us in 2025. Amen. Let's thank the Lord as we leave and pray. Jesus, we thank you for your goodness to us. You're helping us. We thank you, Lord. Lord, there's so many times I know as a pastor, I feel like, God, I don't know what to do. I'm not smart enough for this, but you're helping us. You're helping us to prosper. You're making us successful. You're blessing the work of our hands. And Lord, we acknowledge we are nothing without you. Apart from you, we can do nothing. It's not by might, it's not by power, it's by your Spirit, oh God. And so, Lord, we stand and we look back at 2024 and we say, look what the Lord has done. It's been you. It's been all you, oh God. And we are so grateful to work with you, that you've chosen us. And God, as we look ahead to 2025, we humble ourselves before you and say, Lord, unless you build the house, we're going to labor in vain. We need you, oh God. We need your presence with us. We need your power with us. We need the moving of your Holy Spirit with us. God, we want to see more lives impacted, more lives changed, more people healed, more people set free, more people released to live their call. Father, would you stir in us by the power of your Holy Spirit and launch us and send us as never before, in Jesus' name. Help us to be good stewards of the people resources you're bringing us, the financial resources you're bringing us. God, may we be people that you can say, they've been faithful with a little, so I'm going to give them more. And Lord, we would be faithful with the more as well. God, would you enlarge us? Would you stretch out our tent pegs, enlarge our tent, oh God? Lord, help us to be more effective in the things that we're doing. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, just to remind you before you leave here today, we have a crossing over prayer service at 11 p.m. this Tuesday night in the library. Next Sunday, we're back to two services, 9:15 and 11:15. And you get to stack the chairs today. So you first service people that don't know that we actually stack chairs, you just come and they're set up and you leave. Your second service people have been stacking your chairs. So if you're a first service person, make sure you join in the fun today. Bless you.
Well, that brings us to the end of our time together. We hope that you found insight and had moments that spoke to you right where you needed it. Before you go, share the love and post this inspiring video to your page. Who knows how many lives could be impacted by it? And if you aren't already, like, follow, and turn on your social media notifications to keep up to date on all the exciting things happening at our church. Here at Harvest City, we're all about connecting with our community and celebrating those big moments. Like if you've recently decided to fully dedicate your life to Jesus, we'll be your cheerleaders and help you take those first steps. And if you're going through a tough season, let us know how we can help you. Plus, we've got tons of programs for kids, youth, and adults if you're looking for a new community to be part of. To send us a message or check out more about HCC, head over to our website, harvestcity.ca. To all of our financial partners, thank you for investing into the kingdom of God. Your generosity allows us to keep doing what we're called to do and reach even more people. If you're interested in contributing, please visit harvestcity.ca/giving for more info. Thanks for being here. Keep living your call, and we'll catch you again soon.